A while back, I was playing a video game known for being one of the most fun you could ever play. It was called Crash Team Racing, okay? It was on PS1. It was basically Mario Kart before Mario Kart. You get the deal, okay? Here's how me and my brothers would play, because it's a one-player game. You would get to race, and if you won the race, you kept going. If you lost, you hand off the controller. I was pretty good at it, so I didn't really hand off the controller, but at the end of every like four or five races, you always have to play the boss. And the boss always had some weird unknown power up. I was basically cheating. Okay, the game was cheating. We weren't yet, but we could just never beat these bosses. We doesn't matter how hard we tried. It got to a point, you know, when you kind of like give up on a game and you start like driving the course backwards. Like we were just doing that. And we were just sitting in a huddle like, okay, how do we beat this guy? How do we beat this guy? At one point, my little brother, he's driving. He accidentally ran into a wall. Turns out it wasn't a real wall. It was a secret passageway, y'all. We spammed that secret passageway every single lap, beat every single boss. We were kings, but we kind of cheated unnecessarily, but kind of unknowingly, but knowingly. It was a part of the game, but I don't know if the game makers really intended for that to happen. But while we all aren't gamers, we do know what it's like to take the easy way forward, right? We've been in this series called Take a Bow, where we've been talking about confidence and humility. It's easy to think about humility as just thinking lowly of yourself. You know, when someone compliments you, you just brush it off, or you never admit that you're good at something because it makes you feel gross. But what we've learned together the past few weeks is that humility isn't that at all. Instead, humility is thinking about yourself correctly. Humility and confidence can coexist. We can live completely confident and humbly at the same time. Let's use this circle to illustrate something. This represents your life and who God created you to be. That means that living a life of humility and confidence is living in such a way that you fill this space, not going outside of it, not taking space that isn't yours, and not shrinking to be less than. Instead, humility starts with recognizing that this is who God created you to be and living your life in a way that reflects that, including how you love and encourage others. But here's the thing. Sometimes we're not happy with the life that we've been given. Maybe we feel overwhelmed that the expectations of others or the expectations we have for ourselves are just too much. Maybe your parents are fighting so much that you've had to take on roles at home that you don't want to. Your younger siblings are looking to you for stability and you don't want to be the strong one. You feel overwhelmed because you're asked to take up too much space. Maybe we feel like we want more space to step into and we're frustrated with opportunities we aren't getting. Maybe a parent is sick and you've had to step up in ways you don't want to. You wish you could focus on other things, or maybe you want more playing time or a more significant role in that production, but your coach or teachers just don't see your potential. That can be so frustrating. Maybe we feel fearful and it's tempting not to show up at all. Maybe you want to run for student government, but you don't think you'll win, so you don't even try. You're overly concerned about what others think, and you're really struggling to see yourself the way God sees you, so you shrink. Maybe you make yourself less than because trying at all is just terrifying. If you want your circumstances or your life to change, is that wrong? It's not wrong to want your life to change. It's not wrong to ask God for more, and it's not wrong to ask God for less. Now, let's be very clear. Life is always changing. Part of the reason the discussion about living a life of humility and confidence is so important is that life is constantly changing. And because life changes, you have permission to let go of things that are draining you. And you have permission to want to grow as a person. Growing things change. It's how we respond to those changes that matter. So, how do we change in a way that's helpful and healthy, full of confidence and humility? Fortunately, we have amazing examples. The Apostle Paul understood the tension of humility and confidence well. After Paul started following Jesus, he started churches and wrote more New Testament books than anyone else. In a letter to a church in Philippi, Paul encouraged Jesus' followers this way. Don't be selfish.
Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Paul got right to the point. Don't always be about getting what you want. Don't be more than you are. Don't play the comparison game. Don't exist to impress others. Take a bow. Be humble. And then he made a subtle statement that's often overlooked. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Paul didn't say your own interests don't matter or that you should never consider yourself at all. Nah. Paul implied that true humility and confidence rest in learning how to constantly shift between your own interests and the interests of others. And Paul punctuated his point by giving us unbelievable advice. Paul wrote, "Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to." Paul said that we should have the same attitude as Jesus and then gave a really important aspect of Jesus's attitude. Jesus did not consider equality with God something to cling to. This also translated as something to be used to his own advantage. And wow, do we have examples of Jesus living this out? In Matthew 4, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Matthew tells us that Jesus went out into the wilderness where he was tempted. While there, Jesus was asked to throw himself into harm's way and see if God would actually protect him to prove that he is God's son. Was Jesus God's son? Could Jesus have done this and then some? Yeah. But Jesus humbled himself. Jesus chose to humble himself. Matthew writes about a time 3 years later when Jesus was in a garden called Gethsemane. Jesus knew what was about to happen and he knew how difficult it would be. Matthew writes, "He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, 'My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine.'" This is an incredible moment. Jesus seemed to understand the extreme suffering that was coming his way. Very soon after this, Jesus was arrested, beaten, and crucified. And here, right before all of that, Jesus asked God if there could be a different way. It's as if Jesus was saying, "Is there any way I do not have to do this?" But in the same breath, Jesus seemed to reconcile himself to who he is and why he exists. He decided not to manipulate things to his own advantage, even though he could have. Instead, Jesus humbled himself to do what he came to do. As we read in the beginning of Jesus's ministry, Jesus could have flexed and been all that he is and then some, but Jesus didn't do that. 3 years later, at the end of his life, Jesus realized that the pain he was about to suffer would be so intense, and he asked God if he could avoid the pain. But Jesus decided to live out his purpose. Jesus showed us an example of how to live so we can become more like him. While certainly not to this extreme, the same idea applies to us. If we want to navigate life's changes in healthy ways, we have to learn when to step back and when to step forward. Think of it this way. Your space in the world will change over time. It's freeing to know that your life is always changing. And when we pay attention, we can see those changes for what they are. You have permission to let some space go when it isn't yours to occupy. And you have permission as you grow to be the fullest, best version of the person God created you to be. We have to learn, develop wisdom, and always consider others first. But we also have to consider who God created us to be. In light of what we talked about today, here are three suggestions. First, don't force your way to growth. One of the biggest temptations you'll face is wanting more sooner than you should or more than is good for you. The easy route is usually never worth it, and a good result will always cost something, but it shouldn't hurt ourselves or others. Control what you can control. the condition of your heart, how you love and serve and encourage others, being a great daughter or son, a classmate, teammate, and friend. Be your true self in the moment and season you're in. Then trust God with what comes next. Second, give growth some time. Humility and confidence are one area of your journey where time is your friend. Growth takes time, and instant growth usually never ends well. Just know that you will probably wrestle with this process most of your life, and that's okay. If you find yourself feeling stuck, then trust that God is growing you right where you are. Think about a plant. You can water it and give it the right amount of sunlight, but you can't force it to grow quickly. Plants take time to grow. And in the same way, your growth takes time. Building a new habit takes time. Getting through high school, that takes some time. Growing in your faith takes time. But in the process, something powerful is being built in you and your character, just like a beautiful plant is being forged over time. And lastly, always ask for help. Share how you're feeling with your friends, small group leaders, a trusted adult, and God. Share your feelings with people who can help you see and understand your life and circumstances right now. Sometimes others have a better perspective of our lives than we do. They can be more objective. Your life is constantly changing, and it will continue to change constantly. Sometimes you'll have the starring role, and sometimes you'll be a supporting cast member. A big part of continuing to become the amazing person God created you to be is learning how to manage confidence and humility as you grow. So, take a bow. Be humble. Your space in the world will change over time. Growing things change. We can't always see how our lives will change, but living a life of humility and confidence starts with learning to be your true self in the moment you're in, and then trusting God with what comes next. When you go to groups, think about this question. Throughout your life, how has your God-given space changed?